Lord, I just pray this morning that you send those that would be here this morning, those you have appointed for this encounter with you this morning. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Or afternoon, wherever they may be, whatever time zones that people are in this morning, come on in and let's experience something new this morning. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. We love you, Lord. We give you praise and give you glory. Hallelujah. And somebody can say amen. Now, you know, this morning, I welcome every one of you. I see you, Sister Julia, Tricia, Sister Veronica, Sister Grace. I see you, Mama, Alexi, and I see you, Dana. I see you, Brother Kyle. And of course, Lady Evan, thank you for joining. You know, we've already kicked off the room, powerful prayer session already this morning in my wife's room, the 15-minute prayer declaration for the family. And we are here. We're going to have some fire in our bones this morning. Leviticus chapter 6, our theme scripture, verses 12 and 13. Here we go. The Lord commanded the priests to burn wood on the altar and in the fire every morning. The fire shall never be put out, he said. You know, but you must burn wood upon it every morning. The fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. The priest shall burn wood in it, you know, and lay it in order and so forth. The fire shall be burning, shall never go out. I'm going to be speaking about the sacrifice and the fire today. That's right. You know, we know the altar is where that fire, that sacrifice must be prepared. Well, I'm going to tell you a story first on, how that altar must be repaired in order for the fire to fall. I'm going to talk about the sacrifice, and we're going to use these things for prayer this morning. I'm also going to talk about the fire and the reasons why the fire will not fall. I'm going to be talking about that. So you stay tuned. Glory to God. Father, I pray that everyone will engage in the spirit today, because this is so vital and we must catch this in the spirit. And we don't want anyone to leave this room and say, oh, Pastor Yado, that was a wonderful message. No, we don't want that. We want you to be fired up. We want the glory and fire and power of God to go in your bones, your spirit, all day long and every day, in Jesus' name. Yesterday, we talked about, you know, the flowing of the spirit and how we must not stand in the banks, on the banks of the river. We must go in, and you can't even go in and stop when it's at the ankles. You got to go in further. Don't stop even when it gets to the knees. Go in further. Don't stop even when it gets to the hips. Going further. Don't even stop when it gets to the neck. Keep going in. Hallelujah. That's a whole lot more, you know, where that came from. And so today, glory to God, the sacrifice and the fire. Let me say right away that the song I was playing, as you kind of came into the room, if you listen to it a bit, you know, Tasha Cobbs, you know, Fill Me Up. You know, I would actually prefer if they turned that, you know, powerful song. I love it, but I would have preferred if they turned it around, because he said, you know, you send the fire and I'll bring the sacrifice. Well, it's the other way around, actually. You bring the sacrifice and God will send the fire, but he'll not send the fire unless the sacrifice is right. So I'm going to be talking about that today. And we can't put any conditions on God. Say, well, you send the fire, then I'll bring the sacrifice. No, we bring the sacrifice. I mean, if the sacrifice is right, if the altar is repaired, if everything is just accordingly, he'll come down. And not only, you know, might consume the sacrifice, might lick up the altar, everything. So there's a story in 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm just going to paraphrase it. You know, so Elijah going up against the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groove, and mocking them and saying, well, you know, you call upon the name of your gods and I will call upon the name of my God. But he said, look, here's what we're going to do. You know, you guys give us, you know, sacrifice. Each one of us will prepare and all that, you know, and let them go first, you know, and they can prepare their sacrifice and do all the things that they want to do and so on, you know. And he said, I will also call upon the name of the Lord my God, you know. So he's going to put a showdown here this morning, you know, two bullocks he asked for, you know. And then when they did all the things they wanted to do, they cried all day long. But Elijah put out the sacrifice, said, let that God that answered by fire, let him be God. Hallelujah. So everybody said, well, that's good. That's well spoken. So the prophets of Baal, they put the bullock, they did whatever they did, but he told them, don't put any fire under now, you know, but we'll see if you get some fire, you know. So, you know, they cried all day long, you know, from morning till the evening sacrifice. They cut up themselves until blood gushing out, but there was no fire and there was no voice, neither hearing, you know. So Elijah mocked them a little bit and said, look, come on now. I mean, he may, you know, he's a God after all. You know, maybe you should cry a little louder. You know, maybe he's talking on the phone. Maybe he's chasing after somebody. Thank you, Lord. Once again, hold on a second, please. I don't know what, something jumped up on my phone here. I'm not sure about this thing here. Okay. All right. Sorry about that. I got that taken care of. And he said, look, he may be on the phone. He may be chasing. He may be doing whatever, you know. So, but nothing happened. So Elijah now said, okay, fine. Are you guys done? You done now? Okay, now it's my turn. So here's what he did, you know, in verse 30 of 1 Kings chapter 18. I want you to notice the very first thing that Elijah did when it was his turn. You know, after calling the people to come down to him, he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. So that's a vital part of what I will be talking on here this morning. Repairing the altar that was broken down and bringing the right sacrifice. All of these things are essential ingredients before the fire can fall. The fire is not going to fall. Remember, there was a man in the Bible many, many years ago at the beginning, right around when God started to create man and so forth. You know, Adam and Eve, they had Cain and Abel. Cain brought a sacrifice of the fruits of the ground which God had cursed. And his sacrifice did not smell nice to God. God did not have, you know, respect unto that sacrifice, we're told. But then Abel, he brought a blood sacrifice. I don't know who taught him that, but he brought a blood sacrifice and God liked it, you know. You know, so fire fell on his own. Nothing happened to Cain. Cain got wrath, killed his brother. You know the story and all that. So the sacrifice must be right. You know, God doesn't just accept every sacrifice. So we're going to be talking about that. In order for you to get this fire. So Elijah, he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. That's the first thing that he did. Repair the altar of the Lord. Then he took 12 stones after the manner of the tribes of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came. And then he, with the stones, he built a new altar, you know, into the Lord. Then he made a trench around all the altar, as many as, you know, take some measures of wood. And then he put the wood in order. Remember, Leviticus 6 says you put the wood in order as well. You know, that's a way you have to lay it just right, you know. And he did all that. Cut up the bullocks, did everything. He made sure the sacrifice was in order. You know, you can't just have God, you know, come down, the fire come down to anything that's not, you know, pleasing to God. So he asked them, pour water on it. They poured water, pour water on it. Second time, they poured water on it. Third time, the water was all over, filling up, covered the trench, covered the sacrifice covered everything and filled over. Elijah was going to prove that this fire didn't come by accident. You know, and then he called upon the name of the Lord. And when he did, the fire fell. And when the fire fell, oh my goodness. Listen to this in verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, it licked up the water. That fire took everything. That's some fire. That's some sacrifice that was acceptable to God. So I'm going to talk about different kinds of fire sacrifice. I'm going to talk about the sacrifice. I'm going to talk about different kinds of fire. I'm going to talk about the appearances of God in fire. And I'm going to talk about why the fire will not fall. So remember, it's not God that will send the fire first for us to bring the sacrifice. No, we must prepare the altar. We must prepare the sacrifice. We must get the wood laid in order. We must do everything right. And if something smells right to God, you know, then he will come there and he will take care of it. You know, he will accept that, burnt offering or the sacrifice and so forth. Now, it's not all the time that the Lord will consume the sacrifice and, you know, completely consume it. You know, sometimes, which is where I'm really going today, you know, he wants it to be continuous a sacrifice. That's what Romans chapter 12, verse 1 would tell us. It says, I beseech you. I mean, this is a passionate plea, you know, that Paul would write to these guys by the Spirit of God. I beseech you by the mercies of God, passionately present your bodies a living. Now, this is not a one-time sacrifice. And this one is a different kind of sacrifice. It's a living sacrifice. The fire is not going to, you know, consume it all at once. You got to bring it. You got to keep bringing it. You got to keep bringing it, you know, and all that. You know, so we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about, you know, the why does God appear in fire sometimes? And why, what is fire to God? What does fire do? You know, what is all of that? And why are we talking about fire? Now, the Bible tells the children of Israel, there shall be no strange fire in your camp. He doesn't want strange fire. So we're talking about the fire of the Lord. You know, some people, you know, do strange things, you know, and so forth. You know, they burn strange incense to the Lord. God doesn't care for any of that, you know, but let's see what he wants. You know, let's see what he wants. You know, so that's what we're going to be talking about. You know, so I gave you an introduction, but we're going to get right into it. You know, and I love it when, you know, when we talk about these subjects, we prepare the hearts of the people, you know, and then God will visit us in this ministration today. Glory to God. So get ready. We are getting into this. Hallelujah. Now, let's talk about first fire. You know, let's talk about fire. You know, but before we do, let me tell you another quick instance here, you know, in the book of Judges chapter 13. Before we do that, before I go there, let me just pull that one up. I just remember that. Pull it up right here, Judges chapter 13. You know, this was when the angel visited Manoah. You know, this was going to be, you know, how the Lord was going to empower Samson to be a deliverer, you know, for the people and all that. You know, so let's read Judges chapter 13. It starts from about, you know, maybe verse 2 or so. Let me just quickly paraphrase the story here. You know, there was a certain man, or maybe read some of it, certain man of Zorah, the families of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren. You know, the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman, you know, and so forth. And he said, well, thou art woman, you know, woman, thou art barren, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, beware, I pray you, you know, don't let you drink any wine, a strong drink, or any unclean thing, because when you conceive, you're going to bear his son, and no razor shall come on his head, and all that stuff. So she tells him, you know, that. So he tells her, you know, and so the woman came and told her husband, said, a man of God appeared to me, and all that, you know, so, you know, told her everything. And then told him everything. And then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, look, let this man of God, the angel you sent at the first time, let him come to us again and teach us what you should do. So the Lord hearkened to him, and the man came again. You know, and when he came, you know, Manoah, you know, said to you, you know, are you the man? You know, and so forth. Say, yeah, you know, I am. I said, well, now let thy words come to pass. See, you got to believe the word. Let thy words come to pass. But how shall we order the child? How should we do? So he began to tell him, you know, and so forth. Then Manoah said unto the angel, I pray thee, stay right here. Let me make a sacrifice. You know, this is where I'm going with it. Stay right. Let me make a kid raised with you. And the, you know, the angel of the Lord said to him, no, oh, even though you detain me, I will not eat thy bread. And if you must give a burnt offering, then you must offer it unto the Lord. See, that's a true angel of the Lord. I'm going to point him right back to, you know, to the Lord. You know, but Manoah didn't know it was an angel of the Lord. So one thing led to another, you know, what's your name? It is secret and so forth. But here is, listen to this in verse 19. So Manoah took a kid of a burnt offering and offered it unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously. That angel, he did some drama, you know, because there was some sweet smelling, you know, savor that was coming to the Lord. That sacrifice was, I mean, that was good, was pleasant. So the angel, you know, he, I don't know what he did, but wondrously danced, went up and down in the flame of fire, did all kinds of things, you know. And my goodness, you know, ascended in the flame of fire on the altar, you know. So that was a sacrifice that was pleasing to God, you know. So, okay, just wanted to throw that in. Let's go back here to what is fire all about? And why does God talk about this fire? You know, even the, you know, the appearances of God many times in fire. Why? You know, Exodus chapter 3, we began to see God in verse 2. You know, Moses came to Mount Horeb, and the Lord appeared to him in the burning bush. It was fire, but the bush was not consumed. We saw that those various appearances of the Lord. In Exodus 24, you know, we see God appearing, you know, to the children, you know, of Israel. You know, they all saw it. It wasn't just one person that saw it. You know, when God, you know, when Moses went up, you know, the Bible says that the Lord, the mount was covered with the glory of the Lord. Exodus 24, verse 15. It says, Moses went into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of God abode on Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, God called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord, they saw it, all of them, you know, was like devouring fire on the top of the mount of the, you know, in the eyes of the children of Israel. They all saw it. It wasn't just Moses. They saw the fire. Why did God appear in fire? I'm going to tell you in a bit, but let's look at a few more. Exodus chapter 40. And verse 38, I believe that's the very last verse of that book, you know. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day. And, you know, you can help me post the scriptures as you are hearing them. Appearing to them by fire at the night in the sight of all the children of Israel. Wow. Throughout all their journeys. So God was leading them by the fire, leading them by the cloud by day. You know, in the book of Ezekiel, I'm just going to rush through some of these appearances of how God appears in fire, and I'm going to tell you why. You know, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8, you know, and verse 2. Now, Ezekiel, you know, was blessed with various visions, you know, and of dimensions of God. You know, he said, then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire. Ooh. From the appearance of his loins, he saw this figure, you know, and there was fire from his loins downward, and fire, you know, from his loins even upward. The appearance, you know, I mean, fire everywhere. I mean, this incredible figure that appeared to him, it was just fire. Oh my goodness. He saw fire oozing out of this figure. That was the appearance of the Lord. And he said, behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. You know, so God appeared to him there in fire. You know, in Daniel chapter 1, the book of Daniel chapter 1, you know, we see, chapter 7, we see, you know, Daniel looking forward into the, you know, into time, prophetically piercing the veil of time. He said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, Daniel 7 and verse 9, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was as white as snow, his hair, like white, pure wool, and his throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels were like burning fire. I mean, why were all these fire things around the Lord? A fiery stream issued out from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered to him and so forth. You know, the judgment was set and the books were opened. Now look at all the appearances of God. Then fast forward to Revelation chapter 1. You know, when Jesus appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos. Remember, the very first book, the very first verse of that book of Revelation said, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, some of the composers of this book called the Bible, they call it the revelation of John. No, it was not the revelation of John. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to Christ to show unto his servants, you know, things that must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So it was never the revelation of John. This whole thing was revealing who Christ was all about, you know. And listen to what he said in the book of Revelation 1 and verse 14. So when the Lord had appeared to him in verse 11, said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and so forth. And he said, I turned to see the voice of him that spoke with me. And being turned, he saw seven golden candlesticks. And then he looked a little more, you know, and then he said, look, my goodness. Then I see like someone like unto the Son of Man, you know. And then I look a little more. And then the next thing I see, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire, you know. And his feet were like burning brass on fire. As if he burned in a furnace. I mean, why did God, you know, what was this fire thing all about with God? I mean, why was he always appearing in fire? You know, and then the book of Revelation, chapter 3, when he was talking, these letters that he asked John to write to the churches, when he, you know, would speak to, you know, the church of Laodicea, he said, look, you know, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold. If you are cold, we know you are completely against God. You hate God to his face. Yeah, okay, fine. And then if you are fired up with fire, God loves that one. But if you are somewhere in the middle, he hates that. And that's the one we're attacking today. The lukewarmness and the lukewarm spirit, you know, and how to correct it is what this room is all about today. How do we correct that? How do we get that fire back in our bones? Well, what is the right kind of sacrifice? What are the things? Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says, when they were gathered together, we talked about this yesterday. We've been talking about it for a while, you know, but here's a different viewpoint. You know, there was a reason why the cloven tongues of fire appeared and sat upon every one of them. You know, first there was the sound of a rushing mighty wind. And then the cloven tongues of fire. So God used that fire there. And did you know that the Bible actually says our God is a consuming fire in Hebrews 12 and 29? Why does he talk about fire, fire, fire when he's talking about God? You know, even Jeremiah, Chapter 20 and verse 9 says, the word of God was like a fire in my bones. Now, you cannot describe anything about God as in, you know, just lukewarm. God hates that spirit of lukewarmness. You know, he hates it. You better be cold or be on fire. It's one or the other. You can't, this middle ground, you know, of, you know, just being a little lukewarm, I will spew it out of my mouth. You know, it tastes nasty in his mouth. I'm going to spew it out of my mouth. You know, if you're cold, we know you're cold. If you're hot, oh my God, loves that. Well, you know, but this being in the middle, he hates it. And one time he said, look, the time is coming when God will fix it. Let him that is hot be hot. Let him that is cold be cold. Let him that is filthy be filthy. Let him that is righteous be righteous. Let him that is holy be holy, and so forth. You can't go back and forth. You don't know. So today we want that fire. That's right. Fire from God in our hearts. You know, but for us to get it, we're talking about the sacrifice. So I'm going to shift now and tell us, you know, some things that must be put in order in order for the sacrifice to be acceptable before God. You know, I mean, Paul said it, bring your bodies, Romans 12:1. We read it already, a living sacrifice to be holy and acceptable. Well, it won't be acceptable if the sacrifice is not right. You know, if the wood is not laid in order, it won't be acceptable. If the altar is not repaired, it will not be acceptable. But when we repair the altar, we're talking about that next. When we put the wood in order, and when we put the sacrifice upon it, and if the sacrifice is right, then the fire will fall, consume it all. But it's not the kind of fire that would destroy it. It's a cleansing fire. It's a purifying fire. It's a fire that wakes us up. You know, so, you know, a subcaption for this room might be, shake us up, Lord, that you might wake us up. That's right. You know, oh, sleeping church, it is time to wake up. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, this sleep. You know, Proverbs says, a little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the arms. You know, here's what happens, you know. Ephesians 5, chapter 14, I mean, verse 14 says, awake thou that sleepest. Well, it started with a little sleep. It started with a little slumber, you know. And then the next thing you know, arise from the dead. This thing graduates into death, you know, just, I mean, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms, you know, and then the next thing you know, death. You can't feel anything anymore, you know, so. The scripture says, awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You know, let's talk about some of the reasons why that fire will not fall. Because the sacrifice is not right. You know, in that sacrifice, there might be leaven. That's right. If they mix it up with leaven, no. God hates leaven. I mean, he hates it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And I'll be talking about what that leaven is in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 tells us that, you know, he said, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, because you have been unleavened. You know, the Christ, who was a perfect sacrifice, showed us how to do it. There was no leaven in him at all. And he, one time he was telling the disciples in Matthew chapter 16, verse 6, he said, look, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Yeah, they didn't know what he was talking about. They thought he was talking about, because they didn't take any bread. And they were saying, wow, we need to have some bread. And Jesus said, look, are you kidding? How many times have I done this miracle of no bread and then yet I feel the whole thing? Don't worry about that. I'm not talking about bread. Then they realized that he was talking about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, that doctrine of the Pharisees. Now, let me tell you about the doctrine of, we have modern day Pharisees, folks. They are called the religious systems. And the 11, this is how it works. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. This is, you know, I want somebody to post it in the hallway for me, please. It's a powerful thing that I must expose it this morning. Matthew 13 and verse 33. Here's what it says in the King James. You know, I'm going to read it out of the King James. Jesus, in this chapter, he was talking about all kinds of parables for the kingdom of heaven, you know, how it is likened. But in this one verse, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Now that's leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until the whole thing was leavened. Some people think that this is a good thing. No, this is a horrible thing. Christ hates leaven, you know. The only message out of here is how the devil plants his leaven inside the kingdom. That's right. You know, all you need is just a little piece until a whole leaven leavens the whole lump, is what the Bible says. You know, just a little bit. Take three measures of meal. You know, everything looks good, but just put enough poison inside of it. That's exactly right. You know, and I said before, you know, when I teach on this subject, I say, look, when your enemy wants to feed you poison, they are not going to bring a bottle that has a label of poison inside of it and put it on your table. Nobody is going to fall for that. You have this big, bold label that says poison on the bottle. Nobody's going to fall for that. What they do is they prepare a delicious meal, you know, and then put a little poison inside of it. That's all you need. Everything looks good on the outside, but then there's a little poison on the inside. And a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. So that's exactly what the devil does with this kingdom. You know, he allows people to have a little bit of good, a little of this and a little, but then a little bit of, you know, falsehood, a little bit of the religious systems, a little bit of, you know, the, you know, ways of the world. Just mix it up in there, you know, until the whole thing is leavened. Now, that's the kingdom of God for you. There are many parables that Jesus told. Some of them he expounded, some he did not. This one he did not expound. He just left it like that. But he told it nonetheless. You know, so that's leaven for you. And what's inside that leaven? Well, it's not so much the, I talked about religious, you know, religious systems already. But even beyond that, there's a little foxes that spoil the vine. There are the, you know, the things that are, you know, I mean, there are big things. The works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, you know, talks about the big works of the flesh. But then there are the little things. You know, there are the little things. There is the backbiting. There is the bitterness. There is the unforgiveness. You know, there is the, you know, sowing discord, you know, sowing discord. The Bible says that God hates many things, but this one thing, number seven thing, is a one that sows discord among the brethren. God hates it. He said, look, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. When he's talking in Ephesians chapter 4, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Corrupt communication is when you bring a little poison inside your communication to somebody else's ears. Instead of ministering grace, you speak evil about somebody else. You speak evil about something else. You know, I mean, you know, that's none of your business, none of your concern. You know, all of these things, you know, poison the sacrifice. The fire is not going to fall, folks. You know, because there's a little leaven in there. It's all mixed up. It's got all these things. It, you know, it's, you know, produces a, you know, a stench of a smell to God. And when he smells it, he said, I will not smell in your assemblies. You know, when he smells it, he said, that's nothing cooking there for me. So he won't even come close to it. He's not going to touch it by 1 mile pole, if you want to put it like that, you know, because the sacrifice is not right. The sacrifice is not. So we got to purge out the old leaven. We got to repair the altar. You know, some people's altars are broken completely. They don't have an altar of prayer. You know, I mean, you are in your home all you do is argue and, you know, scream at each other and yell at each other. There is no altar of praise. There's no altar of prayer. Well, you got to repair that altar. You got to repair. And even if you live alone, you know, and you have no time for the Lord, everything else takes first place and God is last. You know, that's one of the beautiful things like this in the morning. You know, he says in the womb of the morning, Psalm 110 verse 3, he said, the people of God will be willing in the day of his power. In the womb of the morning, such as this. Now, the morning is always pregnant with many things for the day. But in the womb of the morning, you command the dew of youth. You command the dew of heaven. You get into the fire. You set it right. You lay the wood in order upon it every morning. Our theme scripture, Leviticus 6:12. Look, go back to that. You lay it in order every morning. You come back to it. You know, so, but you get rid of the backbiting. You get rid of the, all of these other negative things. Glory to God. You know, so that's how you get rid of the things that do not glorify the Lord. And because those things don't glorify the Lord, you know, the altar is corrupted because of a corrupt sacrifice that's upon it, and the fire is not going to fall. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. This was Timothy getting instructions from the Lord. And the Lord said to him, the Lord said through Paul to Timothy, he said, look, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without preferring one over another and doing nothing by partiality. Another part of that leaven is when people say, well, that doesn't matter. They see things point blank in the word of God and then say, well, you know, that doesn't matter. You know, like, so, you know, the spirit of it doesn't matter, it brings lukewarmness. It brings a stench upon that sacrifice and the fire cannot fall. You know, but Paul charged Timothy, he said, observe all these things. Don't pick and choose what you want from the word of God. You can't do that. People today, there are even denominations today that are built around picking one thing and preferring one thing above the other. You know, and so a bunch of denominations create out of that. You know, no. You've got to take the whole word of God, every part of it. The Bible says every word of God is pure. And it's good for instruction. It's good for rebuke. It's good for exhortation. It's good for, you know, even instruction in righteousness and all these things. You know, make you thoroughly furnished unto every good work. You know, so these are some of the reasons why the fire won't fall. The Lord's reminding me to go back and read that Ephesians 4. I'm going to read it. I just glossed over it, but I didn't read it. But there's some powerful, you know, powerful things there that I want to read. So I'm going to go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and I'm going to start from about verse 22. Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Now that old man, if he comes in that sacrifice, the fire is not falling. You know, it's got all kinds of things in it, but put it off and renew the spirit of your mind. You know, when you put on the new man, you know that that one is in the nature of Christ, is what he's saying here. It's created in righteousness and true holiness after the nature of Christ. These are the things that will corrupt that sacrifice. He says, put away the lying. Speak every man truth to his, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, he's writing to believers. He's not writing to unbelievers. You know, so these saints that are in Ephesus, the ones that are called according to his eternal purpose, called to be saints. These are the people that he's writing to and telling them all the things, how God has ordained things for them even before the world began. It's not talking to unbelievers, yet he's telling them, put away lying. That you speak truth to every man. Some people just lie. Why? You know, your members want to don't lie. You know, put away anger. You know, that's another one, you know, an angry man. My goodness. You know, that sacrifice will bring a smell of stench to the Lord. It's like fire can't fall. You know, put away that anger. Put away that, you know, don't give place to the devil. Let him that steals, stole, steal no more. Wow. Among believers, you know, but let him labor, working with his own hands, the thing which is good, that he may have, you know, to give to him that in it. This is under, you know, verse 29 was the one I read before, or I quoted, where I said, you know, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, you know, but things that are good to the use of everybody. Corrupt communication, when you speak something that is contrary, you know, it's not just swearing. People think corrupt communication means swearing. No, you know, it is anytime you corrupt the mind of the person that you are speaking to, which means if you speak something contrary about somebody else, that's a corrupt communication. You know, all these things, you know, will not make the fire to fall. Grieving the Holy Spirit. These are all the things he had just said. He's summarizing it now. You know, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. All of these things will grieve the Holy Spirit. And if he's grieved, he's not sending any fire. You know, forget it. You know, he's not there. He's going to move on, find somebody else, you know, that, you know, that has a real, I mean, the altar is cleansed. The wood is in order. The sacrifice is right. You know, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamors, evil speaking is a summary of all these things they say. Let it be put away from you with all malice. And then it gives, you know, how we must do. Be kind to one another. Be tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. This is the new man. You know, even as Christ and of God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So also do ye. You know, so but he tells us all of the things to put away. These are the things that will not cause the fire to fall. Glory to God. Welcome everybody to the room. If you are listening and enjoying this, share the room. Share it in your hallway. You know, click the little share thing with the top arrow at the bottom and just share it on your hallway. And let people see the title of the room. Maybe they'll come in. Maybe they'll be blessed. You know, invite some friends. Let them come in. And because we're going to decree a powerful prayer session in a minute. But I want you to hear, you know, what God is saying right now. You know, what is God saying? Why is God always talking about this fire? You know, I mean, fire is used for many things. Fire can be used for cleansing. Fire is used for purification. Fire can actually be used for burning things away. Fire can be used for scaring, you know, wild animals away. You know, when you're, you know, out in the woods camping, you know, you build that, you know, campfire around you. You know, the wildest animals, even the lion that is afraid of nothing, when he sees that fire, he'll back off. You know, so the fire of God, you know, around you, in you, out of you, oozing out of you, in your bones, in everywhere. Yeah, look at that picture, you know, that, you know, Ezekiel saw of this man that had fire. Fire in his loins, the one that Daniel saw also, fire above his loins, fire underneath his loins, fire around him, you know, eyes, flame of fire, you know, he's all fired up. And if you come into contact with him, he will ignite your fire as well. So this is designed to ignite the fire and rekindle the flame. And remember, ye that sleepeth, awake to righteousness, even you that are dead, Christ will give you light. So, you know, let's not, it's just a little thing, you know. And how does the devil quench your power? Well, and how does he make sure that the fire will not fall? All he has to do is attack your prayer life. That's right. Your prayer life. You know, that's all he needs. If you cannot pray, you're finished, you know. So the disciples, you know, at the Christ's most needed hour, he was all alone in Gethsemane. And he said, can't you even pray with me for an hour? No, they wouldn't do it. They all slept. And Jesus said, be careful now. If you don't pray, you're going to fall into the hands of the devil. You're going to fall into temptation. You're going to fall into the snare of the devil. You know, so prayer, you know, prayer is how we begin to get ourselves, you know, warmed up, get the things right in our lives by listening to the word of God, such as this. Purification begins to come, you know, and then we begin to examine. The Bible says, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. You know, there was a time when you were all fired up. Jesus spoke to the church in Ephesus. He said, I know thy works, you know, and how thou canst not even stand those who say they are apostles, but they are fake. You know, these people had discernment, you know, and they put those fake apostles out. They were not going to be, you know, made merchandise of. Well, we need some of that today. There's a lot of fake apostles and prophets rampaging all over the place now. You know, you need to have that discernment. But he went on to tell them that, look, you've done all of these things, but nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. And I like to say you've left your first fire. You know, so what is that fire that is going out of you? The which the Bible says that fire must not be put out. You got to go back to it. You got to rekindle it. You got to reignite it, you know, and we got to set the sacrifice just right for the fire to fall. So that's what we are talking about today. And in a minute, we're going to go into a powerful prayer session. And if you are in the listening lounge, you want to join the prayer, I invite you to come to the stage. I sent some invites to some of you already. Come to the stage or raise your hand. We'll bring you to stage. Or put something in the chat room. Be engaged. You know, don't just be a bylooker or just, you know, there. Be engaged. Because this is an important subject. You know, the sacrifice and the fire. The last thing I want to point out today before we close on this segment and go into the prayer is to tell you that in the story of Abraham, when God would have him, you know, bring Isaac to the sacrifice, right? God said to Abraham, I'm just going to paraphrase this story. You know, thy only child whom thou lovest, you know, bring him up and offer him up unto the Lord. So Abraham prepared and he took Isaac, you know, for the sacrifice. And as they went, Isaac said, well, you know, I see the fire, but where is the lamb? And Abraham said, you know, the Lord will set himself a lamb. The Lord will prepare himself a lamb. And of course, the Lord did. He prepared himself a lamb. But the story that I want to bring out, or the lesson I want to bring out of that story, is not about that. It's about, you know, the ultimate, you know, sacrifice. The thing that you love the most, right? Genesis 22, that's what he told him. You can read the story in Genesis 22. And you say, well, God told to him that your son, your only son, whom thou lovest, bring him to the sacrifice. So sometimes the thing that is uppermost in our heart, that may be even blocking, you know, more fire, more overflowing of his presence, it may be that very thing that we got to bring to the altar. So that's the thing we got to bring this morning. You know, bring it to the altar. You know, here's what they said. Genesis chapter 22, you know, verse 9, he said, look, after Abraham told him that the Lord will provide himself, so he said, he came to the place where God told him of, and Abraham built an altar and laid the wood in order. That's how they did it in those days. They always build an altar, lay the wood in order, you know, and then put the sacrifice on the altar. You know. But when he tried to slay the child in obedience to what God had told him, you know, he said, wow. The Lord said, hold it, don't do it. He said, now I know that you did not withhold your son from me. Wow. You know, and then the Lord swore by himself. Glory to God. Now, the sacrifice must come before the blessing. That's the story I want to pull out here. Abraham, his heart was set on this child because it took him many years. You know, he was 100 years old from the time God gave him the promise at 75. So finally, when Abraham got this child, he just loved him. I mean, he just loved him. It was everything to him. He gave him everything, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, but, you know, who knows? Maybe he was becoming an idol or something to him. You never can tell. You know, there must be nothing that we must love beyond the Lord our God. You know, you must, even the things that we're praying about. And let me digress and put this out here this way and say, look, the things that God can give us, here's some of the things also that can make that sacrifice not to be right. You know, the very things that God can give us cannot replace God. It cannot. You know, God said to Abraham before he changed his name in Genesis 15, verse 1. He said, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now, that's what God said. God didn't say, I will give you a great reward. No, God said, I will give you myself. That's right. Now, so, if when you have God, you have everything. You don't be worrying about anything else. You know, but Abraham at that point, he was, you know, thinking of something else. And God said, I will give you myself. Abraham said, well, but I don't have a child. You know. So, ladies and gentlemen, not even the things that God can give you can replace God himself. All good and perfect gifts from God up from above. But not even his own good gifts can replace him himself. Even the very things that God can give, sometimes they can become a hindrance. You know, God was talking about giving him himself, he was talking about, well, but I want a child. But I need a child. God said, well, you know, I will give you that child, but you're going to have to bring him to the altar. That's exactly right. You know, if you cherish something so much that when God wants to give you himself, you're thinking of this other thing that you want. It could be whatever you're praying for. You know, people are praying. They're so passionate about something, some area in their life that's crooked, that they need God to straighten out. It could be anything. You know, it could be your marriage. It could be your job. It could be your children. It could be anything, you know. If God is not your chief joy, if God himself is not your chief passion, you know, he'll give you that thing. But, you know, beware now. You may have to bring that thing to the altar. God gave Abraham that thing, which he loved so much, and he doted on that child. He loved that child so much. And God had to tell him that, look, that child whom you love so much, you're going to have to bring him to the altar. But praise God that Abraham was able to do that. He obeyed the Lord's voice. You know, despite all of that, you know, he knew that, look, hey, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. You know, so he just said, okay, Lord, that's it. I'm going to do it, you know. And he didn't even doubt. He didn't question anything. Now, this is the other thing that will hinder the fire from falling. Disobedience. And in order for the true fire and the true blessings of God to come, must be preceded by complete obedience, complete surrender, laying everything on the altar. And when you do, stay on the altar. The reason why God told us in Leviticus 6, 12 and 13 to keep coming every morning is because we find it difficult to stay on the altar. Paul said, be a living sacrifice. Stay there. But we can't. We run off. But he said, okay, fine. God, knowing that we are flesh, he said, come back every morning. Burn wood upon it again. You know, and then we do it some, we get charged up, then we run off. And then it gets depleted. The fire gets depleted. So, but we must come back. But if you can stay on that altar, oh my goodness. I mean, if you can stay in that presence and not go in and out. Jesus, he stayed in that presence. He said, my Father who sent me, he's always with me. You know, so, you know, he's with me because I do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And God is looking for true worshipers that will worship him in spirit and truth. And true worship is what we've described today. Bring your body, your mind, your soul, everything that's within you, lay it on the altar and stay on the altar. But before you do, expunge all the things that might make the sacrifice, you know, stench of an evil smell to the Lord. But if that sacrifice brings up a sweet smell, savor to the Lord, then the fire will fall. Now, if anybody needs some fire here, I most certainly need this fire. I need this fire back in my life. You know, and I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I'm working my way back to it. You know, I need that fire. And we must get it every morning. And that's what we do in this room every morning. Get that fire back in your soul. Get all the things that offend out of there. Get the systems, the religious systems, get it out of your system. You know, get all the things, you know, the leaven of the Pharisees, get it out of there. You know, one part of the leaven of the Pharisees is that they always think that they are better than everybody else and they despise others. You can read that in Luke chapter 18. Jesus told the story, you know, two men that went up to pray. He said he told this story to the intent because, you know, he said, look, because of those who think they are better than everyone else, but despise others, you know, others. So he told that story because of that. And the man who was a Pharisee, typical Pharisee, you know, he went up to pray and, you know, he was bragging about all the things that he did. You know, I said, Lord, you know, I'm not like all these other wicked people. I'm not even like this, you know, publican over there. You know, I do this, I do that, I do the other thing and so on, you know. And, you know, Jesus didn't say that he didn't do all those things, but his sacrifice was a stench, you know, before the Lord, you know. So read that in Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That's another reason why the fire will not fall. You can see there the pattern of those Pharisees in the story that Jesus told in Luke 10 of the wounded man. You know, they came there, the Levite, that's those are religious leaders. The Levite came there, they saw the man wounded and they left him like that. The priest came there, they saw the man wounded and they left him like that. Because why? In their hearts, you know, they think that they are better than this man, you know, and they say, look, you should have stayed in Jerusalem, in the house of God. You should not have wandered down to Jericho, the sin city, you know, and, you know, whatever befell you on the way, you know, that's your problem. You should have stayed. You know, and they thought they were more righteous. They rushed off to their religious systems, whatever was in their heart, but they left the wounded one like that. Well, those are religious leaders for you. You know, we have modern day ones like that. Then they practice, you know, hypocrisy all day long. Jesus called them whited sepulchres. He said, look, you look good on the outside, but inside are dead men's bones. Revelation chapter 3, verse 2. Thou hast a name that thou livest, but art dead. On the outside, looking good, you know, praying pious prayers, standing in the street corners, you know, blasting in tongues and all these things, looking like, you know, I mean, you got it all going. But inside, ravenous wolves, dead men's bones, evil thoughts, you know, in the hearts, you know, pride in the hearts, you know, self-righteousness in the heart. Now, all of those things, to bring the sacrifice, just like this man, his prayer went nowhere. You know, he prayed all the prayer, he recounted all his accolades, what he did, how he fasts twice a week, how he gives alms, how he does all these things, and how he kept all the law and so forth. But his prayer went nowhere. It was not a sacrifice that was pleasing to God. Now we're going to pray. Glory to God. Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want to pray over everyone that has heard this. Myself first. The Bible says that the husbandman must be first partakers of the fruits. So Lord, let me be first partaker of this, you know, message today. And this instruction unto righteousness, this call back to the altar. I want to be first partakers. In the name of Jesus. Lord, as I examine myself today, let everyone that's here as well, or those that may be listening in later, let them also likewise examine themselves and see, one, if our altar is broken, that we must repair it. Two, that we must lay the wood upon it in order. And we must do that every morning, just in case, you know, we let something slip during the day. Got to come back. Lay down. And then we must make sure the sacrifice is right. Help us, Lord, to expunge all these things that the Holy Ghost has called out this morning. The leaven of hypocrisy. The leaven of bitterness. He said, you know, be careful now, lest any root of bitterness spring up, troubles you. And 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, folks. This tells us about it all. This is a wrap up of everything that we've been talking about. And he says, look, having therefore these great promises, dearly beloved, the promise of visitation by fire, behold, I will make bright clouds and send showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. All of these promises, you know, if you have these promises, if you have this glory that we are talking about, this fire that God wants to send, well, there's something we must do. That is the topic today. And what must we do? We must cleanse ourselves. You got to cleanse yourself. You got to cleanse yourself. And look at how he puts it here. You know, and it says all filthiness. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. It's not only the flesh that can be filthy. The spirit can also be filthy. All filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. We've talked about filthiness of the spirit. It's called self-righteousness. It's called thinking that they are better than others, despising others. It's called the pride and all the things that happen in the spirit. Man, you know, there you have it. You must cleanse all of that out in order to perfect holiness in the fear of God. And when we do that, then the sacrifice is right. And then we are positioned for the fire. Now, God will also not have strange fire in the camp. And some people like to call all kinds of strange fire. God will have no part of that. You know, God will have no power. In fact, the fire of God will consume all those strange fires. You know, I don't have time to tell that story this morning. But I want us to pray.